having obtained the use of the inner senses, having conquered the desires of the outer senses, having conquered the desires of the individual soul, and having obtained knowledge, prepare now, O disciple, to enter upon the vain reality. The path is found, make yourself ready to tread it. Having obtained the use of the inner senses, we know about our outer senses, but each sense has a double dimension. For example, eyes, they can look out. This is only one dimension of their functioning. They can look inwards also, that is, there's another functioning. Ears, you can hear what is happening outside. That is only one function, one dimension. You can hear also what is happening within. That is another function, another dimension. Every sense has two doors. One opens into the outside world, another opens into the inside world. Each sense is both outer and inner, but we use our senses only in one way. We have become fixed and we have forgotten that these same senses can be used to reach within. Having obtained the use of the inner senses, having obtained the hidden dimension of the senses, many things can become possible. Because a new world opens before you. The inner is as vast as the outer. The inner is as infinite as the outer. The inner is as great as the outer. You are just standing in between. You are just standing in between the inner and the outer, two universes. The outer is vast. They say it is infinite, endless, beginningless. There is no boundary to it. The same is true for the inner also. No boundary. The inner space is infinite again. The outer is being searched by scientific methods, and the inner can be searched through yogic methods. Science has developed much and has come to know much about the outer world. But the inner has become just forgotten. It is no more remembered. We are rich now as far as the outer world is concerned. Outer experiences are concerned. And we have become absolutely poor, beggars, as far as the inner is concerned. But what is the use of gaining the whole world if in gaining it you lose yourself? If the self is lost, what is gained? Even if you gain the whole world, nothing is gained. If you lose yourself, then the very meaning of life, very significance, the beauty, the truth, the good, everything is lost. Man can accumulate things, can accumulate powers, at the cost of losing himself, then the whole point is missed. Science tries to magnify outer senses. Now, through mechanical devices, we can look far away into the space. Eyes are magnified by the scientific methods. Now, we can hear long distances. Scientific technology magnifies your ears. The same is possible for the inner senses also. Through meditation, through yoga, through tantra, the inner technologies, your inner senses are magnified. And once they are magnified, many things are revealed to you. Unless they are revealed to you, they appear like myths, superstitions. We hear, we read many things about Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, which cannot be believed. Muhammad, Zarathustra, Moses, they look mythological now. Because whatsoever they say, we cannot experience ourselves. We have no touch. Moses says, he heard the voice of the God on the Mount of Sinai. How can we believe it? We never hear anything like that. If you go to a primitive tribe and tell them that on radio we hear voices traveling long distances, they cannot believe. They will say, what are you talking? If you say on television we see pictures traveling far, far distances, they cannot believe because they have no experience. Just like this, we have become primitives as far as the inner is concerned. Moses says he hears God. Jesus talks with his Father who is in the heaven. He looks neurotic to us. He must be mad. And there are many studies on Jesus, psychological studies, and they say he must have been insane. What does he mean? Talking with God? Where is God? And how can you talk? And how God can talk to you? He must have been insane. Illusions must have happened to him. And he believed in his illusions. He was neurotic. He looks neurotic. Because we have become primitive as far as the inner world is concerned. If your inner senses are penetrating, if your inner senses are alive, if you have come to know how to use them, you can also attune yourself to the divine. You can hear. You can listen. You can see. You can touch the mysteries. They are always there. Moses is not neurotic. We have become primitive. Jesus is not mad. We have lost contact with the inner. Having obtained the use of the inner senses, having conquered the desires of the outer senses, because if the desires of the outer senses are still alive, you cannot move within. Desire means the way to go out. Desire is the path which leads you out. If your mind is still desiring, you cannot move within. That's why so much insistence on desirelessness. It is not a moral concept. Desirelessness is a very scientific concept. If you want to move within, your mind must lose all desire to move without. Otherwise, how can you move within? It is simple mathematics. If you want to go to the left, you must leave the desire to go to the right. Otherwise, one leg moving to the right, another leg moving to the left, you will become mad, you will go insane. You cannot move in two directions simultaneously. Desire leads without, desirelessness within. Having conquered the desires of the outer senses, having conquered the desires of the individual soul, if you are still self-centered, you always think in terms of your own ego. You always think in terms of your own individuality, your own selfishness. The deeper truths of existence cannot be revealed to you. You are not yet capable of it. You are not worthy of it. And it is dangerous also. Try to understand it. For example, science has come now to reveal some very basic mysteries of matter. Science has forced matter to reveal certain secrets. Atomic energy. Now it has become destructive. The man was yet not capable, not worthy to know such a great secret. Science forced matter. Science is aggressive. Einstein is reported to have said that if I am born again, I would not like to become a scientist again. Rather, I would be a plumber. Because whatsoever I have done, it is destructive. And whatsoever I have revealed, my whole life is wasted. And it seems that I may be one of the persons who is responsible for the destruction of whole humanity. His last days were of deep suffering. A secret has been revealed, and man was not ready yet, not worthy to be revealed. Man is childish, stupid and foolish. Such a great power, atomic energy, cannot be given to his hands. And now the politicians have captured the secret. And politicians are bound to be stupid. They cannot be anything else. Because any person who has a political ambition is egoist. The desire to capture power is the desire of the ego. And ego is the most foolish thing possible. It can force you to do anything. It is mad. Political ambition is obsession with the ego. Scientists have revealed some secrets, and politicians have captured those secrets. They destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and now they are ready to destroy any moment, the whole planet Earth. Any moment, the whole Earth can be destroyed. We have more destructive force now than is needed to destroy the Earth. 7 times more. We can destroy 7 Earths like this. This is nothing. And we are going and growing more and more into this destructive power. For what? Why so much hankering after death and destruction? Einstein says it was foolish on scientists' part to force nature to reveal certain secrets for which man was not yet worthy. But you can do it. Because matter can be forced, you cannot do it inwards. The consciousness cannot be forced. And no secret can be revealed to you unless you are ready for it. Unless it is going to be beneficial for you and for others, it cannot be revealed. So this sutra says, having conquered the desires of the individual soul, ambition, ego, power, lust, thinking yourself to be the center of the universe, unless you have conquered these, the innermost secrets of consciousness cannot be revealed to you. Having conquered the desires of the individual soul and having obtained the knowledge, prepare now, O disciple, to enter upon the way in reality. Whatsoever we were working up to now was a work on consciousness, your own consciousness, subjective consciousness. All the sutras up to now work mean to work, to function, to change, to transform, to mutate, subjective consciousness. When one comes to be totally aware in his subjective world, he can enter into the objective. He can now enter into the reality. Remember this, if you move within, you move into the subjective. If you move out, you move into the objective. If you move beyond both, you move in reality. Objectivity is not reality. Objectivity is part of reality. Subjectivity is also not reality. It is again part of reality. When subjectivity and objectivity both are transcended, you enter reality. If you use senses for the outer journey, you will reach object. If you use your senses for inner journey, you will reach the subject, the knower. Through the outer, the object, the known. Through the inner, the knower, the subject, the self. But both are parts. Reality consists of both. In reality, both are one. This we have called Brahma, the ultimate real. You cannot enter into the ultimate real either through the object or through the subject. You have to lose both. That's why to know the soul, you have to use the inner senses. To know the matter, you have to use the outer senses. But to know the Brahma, you have not to use any, neither the outer nor the inner. If you want to enter the ultimate reality, then senses have to be dropped completely, outer, inner, both. And without these senses, one enters reality. That's why Shankara cannot concede that science knows reality. He will say science only knows the objective. Shankara cannot concede that those who say there is no Brahma, no reality, because they know only the subjective self. Only those who go beyond both this duality of object and subject know the ultimate truth. Prepare now, O disciple, to enter upon the way in reality. The path is found. Make yourself ready to tread it. 10th Sutra. Inquire of the earth, the air and the water, of the secrets they hold for you. If you are ready to lose objective and subjective distinctions, you can ask directly. Inquire the earth, the air and the water of the secrets they hold for you. You can inquire directly the elements. If you are ready to lose subject-object division, if you are ready to lose all thoughts, if you are ready to lose mind, mentation, if you are ready to be vacant and empty, you can ask the elements about the secrets they hold for you. And what secrets they hold? Buddha happened in this world. He is recorded by the earth, by the air, by the water, by the sky, by the space, everything. The happening of a Buddha is such a great phenomenon. The universe regards it. How it happened? Krishna danced on this earth. He is regarded. The very phenomena is such a peak. The earth cannot forget. The sky cannot forget. They regard it. Elementarily, whatsoever happens of such greater plenitude is regarded. And you can ask directly if you are totally empty. And the earth will reveal its secrets. And the air will reveal its secrets. If Krishna really delivers the sermon of Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it must be somewhere hidden in the air, in the heart of the air. If you are ready, if you are worthy, the air can reveal you the most secret doctrine, and then you will feel very strange. Then you will feel very much puzzled, because the Gita recorded by man is nothing, is deeply erroneous. Many things have been interjected in it. Many things have been deleted from it. And it is not the real thing. It is just a human record. And it is natural for a human mind to err. But the elemental forces of existence record. Their records are absolutely true, because there is no mind to interpret, to change, to aid or to delete. The purest is recorded there. If Muhammad spoke, if Jesus spoke, it is recorded there. The earth cannot lose contact with her so highly evolved, highly developed, transformed suns. It cannot lose contact with them. The contact remains. It can be revealed to you. The development of your inner senses will enable you to do this. 11th Sutra, inquire of the holy ones of the earth of the secrets they hold for you. The conquering of the desires of the outer senses will give you the right to do this. Inquire of the holy ones of the earth of the secrets they hold for you. We exist in bodies, but there are many holy ones around you who exist bodilessly. Human spirit can exist either in a body form or in a non-embodied form. The non-embodied form is still part of the universe. It is still in the world. It has not escaped it. The liberation has not yet happened. It is prone to come back. It tends to come back. It simply waits for a right womb. There are many holy masters, not absolutely enlightened, because when one is absolutely enlightened, he disappears from the body and from the form itself. It disappears completely. It dissolves into the world source. A Buddha, a Jesus, they dissolve back to the original source. But there are many who are not absolutely enlightened, but who have come to know many things, who have realized many beauties, who have realized many truths, not the truth, who have realized many, many experiences, and they have become good, not enlightened, but good. That's why they are called the holy ones. They can be of much help to you. If you are open to them, you can be in their contact. In theosophy, they are called the masters. This book was dictated by the masters to Mabel Collins. They know many secrets which have disappeared from the earth, from the records of humanity, or have been distorted, or we just cannot read them because the language is forgotten. Still, it is not possible to know what is written in Harappa, Mohenjo-daro culture. It is still remains a secret. We know something is written, but what is written, we don't know. The form remains, but the keys have lost. We know many scriptures from many cultures, but the language is lost. These holy ones can reveal many things which go on lasting. They can make us remember. You can have the contact if you are silent, innocent, moving inwards. If you are using the inner senses, you can have the contact. And your life can become very easily transformed. You alone may take lives together to reach the goal. But with these holy ones, you can be helped easily. And there are many. You need just to be open, unafraid, ready to receive the guidance, and the guidance will be given to you. But before you can receive it, you have to prepare yourself in receptivity, in deep receptivity. Through meditation, that receptivity will happen to you. And there is no other way. Only through silence you will become capable of hearing something which comes from the beyond. Remember one thing continuously, that you have to be more and more silent and more centered within. Whenever you have time, close your eyes, move within. Whenever you are not doing anything, close your eyes, move within. Don't be busy without business, and don't remain occupied unnecessarily. I see people engaged unnecessarily. I have seen people reading the same newspaper again and again. They don't have anything to do. They start reading the same newspaper again. But they cannot remain empty. They cannot remain vacant. To be meditative means to learn how to remain vacant, unoccupied. Close your outer senses and just fall within. Use any time you can find for this. And soon the day will come, it will become as easy as moving from your house out and in. You can come out of your house without any difficulty. You can go back again into your house without any difficulty. You need not even think about how to go in, how to go out. You come out when you are needed out. You go in when you are not needed out. This much simple becomes the phenomena if you practice it. Then you can jump out any moment, you can jump in any moment. And once you become capable of this easy movement, you have become free. And then the world cannot disturb you. Then nothing can disturb you, because on your innermost center nothing reaches. When you are on the periphery, the world touches you. When you are on the center, you are beyond it.